I'm in our series, which is called Foundations. If you have a Bible or a Bible app in front of you, do turn to Philippians chapter 1. I hope you've had a good week. I've been in Ankara in Turkey this week with Guy Barton. As a church, we support Josh and his family, who do an outstanding work to train a new generation of leaders from right across Turkey, as well as serving the poor in Ankara, where they're based. And I've been wanting to get over there and see Josh and his situation firsthand for some time. And I know some of you have already been, but I was really happy to be able to go there. And I'm sure I'll give you more information and tell you more stories from this trip in due course. In Acts 16, we read how the Apostle Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and then they tried to enter Bithynia. Well, that is right where Ankara is today. And there is something just wonderful about going to the places where Bible history is set. And you just stand there and you just imagine it playing out right in front of you. When you read on in Acts chapter 16, you see that Paul was asleep one night and he had a dream. He had a vision of a man from over the sea in Europe pleading with him to come over and help them where they were. And so Paul and his companion, Silas, they did just that. And after a few days, they arrived in the important Roman city of Philippi, which is what is now in the top end of Greece. And there was no Jewish synagogue, and so they went down to the river looking for a Jewish community that they could begin to share the gospel with. And they found some people and they sat down and they began to talk and share and build friendship. And there was a lady there called Lydia, and she put her faith in Jesus and was baptized. And she was the first of many to be saved, actually. And so she opened up her home as a meeting place for this new community of Christian believers that had just been formed. Well, now, about 10 years later, Paul wrote to this same church. And that's what we have in our book of Philippians in the New Testament. And it starts like this: Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you can't help but notice just how much Paul loves this church, which was at Philippi. Verse 3, he says this: I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. That first day was when he'd gone down to the river with Silas and started chatting to people on the riverbank, and a church was formed. That's what he was remembering 10 years later. Happy memories. I can remember the very first time I came to Grace Church. I came as a visitor. I was staying with Steve Petch. We were on leadership training together, and there was an evening event on in the old Grace Centre, and I just stood at the back and watched, and people were stood up and crowded round at the front and having fun. It was a fun event. There was lots of joy in the room and engagement and a sense of community and fun together. And I thought, wow, this church ain't half bad. And that was almost exactly 10 years ago to the day. The same amount of time that Paul was thinking back to his first days in Philippi as he wrote this letter. Happy memories. Well, for us as a Thompson family, 1 year later, we moved to Chichester. And from that time, we started to belong in Grace Church. And when Paul thought about the church at Philippi, his resulting emotion was joy. His spirits were lifted. And the reason for this, we're told, is because he remembered their partnership in the gospel. That's what he says in verse 5. It was this sense of partnership that made him happy. Certainly he enjoyed their partnership with him, But just as important was the fact that all the people in the church in Philippi were partnered with each other. There was a united family of believers, and Paul was a part of that, and he was delighted in that. Verse 7 says, all of you share in God's grace with me. See, this sharing was mutual between them all. And then Paul was a part of that. So as well as being filled with joy, Paul then also has longing in his heart. And verse 9, he says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. He wasn't talking about their love for him. He was talking about their love for each other. The relationships that existed within the church and what it means to be committed to one another in the context of local church. And the rest of the letter then goes on to expand on what that means. Last week in our preaching, we began to look at the church. Now, we had different people speaking in each of our four Grace Church sites last week, and I haven't had a chance to listen to them all yet. I've been in Turkey. But I am pretty sure that you would have heard last week that the church is God's number one plan for this age in which we live, and that he is totally passionate about the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. And in that simple statement, Jesus was declaring his ownership of the church. He puts his name to us, and also his commitment to the church. Jesus is on a mission to step into the lives of people who do not know him and bring them to salvation. But his mission is not purely about saving individual lives. It's about gathering a people together. Jesus is so passionate for the church that he went to the cross and died for her. Ephesians 5 verse 25 says, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And when I was a young man, the whole direction of my life was set when I realized that the Christians that I was meeting with each Sunday morning, a little bit weird though they were, the local church that I was called, that I called home, that I was a part of, that was the church that Jesus loved. This is what he gave his life for. And in the same way, it is us. It's us here this morning. Not some other mysterious organization belonging to another time and another place. No, we are the church that Jesus loves. He puts his name to Grace Church. We are his people. And he is at work in this place. Anyway, I'm sort of assuming that's what you covered last week. Today, as we finish this foundation series, I want to make an appeal to you. I don't just want to talk about church. I want to talk about belonging to church. My appeal to you is that church becomes something for you that you don't just attend or you don't just dip into when you feel like it, but rather it becomes something that you place yourself into wholeheartedly, that you belong. In fact, my perception of Grace Church personally and my desire for Grace Church would be pretty much the same as Paul's desire for the church at Philippi. I love the grace that is shared between so many people here. I love the unity. I love the partnership. Like with Paul, it brings me joy. It really does. And I thank God whenever I think of you. And my prayer is also similar to Paul's prayer, that your love may abound more and more. You see, Paul goes on in verse 27 of Philippians 1 to explain a bit more what he means. And this verse is something of a text for this morning, right? It's something of a memory verse, if you like. This is where we are. This is where we're focusing. And so I'm going to put this verse up on the screen and I'm going to leave it there for the rest of the time that I'm speaking, because I want you to kind of mull it over as I'm talking. I want you to let it really soak into you. This morning, it's this, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together with one mind. for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. So for the rest of my time this morning, then, I want to try and explain this verse to you in the light of the rest of Paul's letter to the Philippians. So we'll touch on some other verses as well. And I also want to talk about being a member of Grace Church. Now, you might not even know that we have a membership that you can sign up to, but we do. And I think it is a fitting way for all of us to implement what God is teaching us through his word in this letter to the Philippians. If you're a member of Grace Church already, then that's great. I want you to understand what that means. And I want you to get faith all over again for being a member of Grace Church. If you are not yet a member of Grace Church, then my prayer is that you will catch hold of something this morning. And by way of response, at the end of our morning, there will be a way for you to become a member today. No other courses, no hoops to jump through. This is your way of counting yourself in. I'll ask the leaders in the room to explain the mechanics of that at the end and what the actual next steps are. But basically, I want to make a way for you today to say, yes, I'll become a member. So my question quite simply is this: what does it mean to be a member of Grace Church? And I guess we could follow that up with the question and well, why not me then? You know, so I want you to ask that question of yourself. What does it mean to be a member of Grace Church? Just to be clear, I'm not asking what does it mean to be a member of anything, because being a member of the gym or of the co-op will mean something very different. In fact, I'm not even asking what does it mean to be a member of a church in general, because another church down the road might have a completely different view of membership and what it implies and how it works. I can only speak for us here. My question this morning is, what does it mean to be a member of this church, of Grace Church? And I'm preaching from the Bible this morning, but I'm not saying that the way we do membership here is taken directly from the pages of Scripture, and so that any other church that does something different is clearly in error. What I'm saying is that the way we implement membership in Grace Church is our way of applying what I believe is a mandate of Scripture. And so if you were to think, well, I'm not doing that, count me out, then I guess you would need to find your own way of applying these verses into your life. Now, ultimately, I'm not sure you'd even be able to do that here. This is how we do it, but that's, I guess, up to you. Maybe it's worth dispelling a few myths about membership first. So I'll tell you a few things that it does not mean. Firstly, membership is not the final target or milestone of your life journey of growth in spiritual maturity as a Christian. It's not the panacea. It's not the end point or the holy grail. Membership is not some special badge of honor that is reserved for really grown-up Christians or people who've seemed to be in the church for a really long time. You get the idea. It's not that. Once you become a Christian, you are most certainly on a life journey. You are writing your story. And if you're being led by the Spirit, then your journey will certainly be marked by growth in spiritual maturity. Hebrews 5:14 says, "But the solid food of God's word is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." See, there is a training, there is a development. But being a member of Grace Church is not like a graduation or some statement that you've made it. Anybody who says they've made it, it's probably lying anyway. Belonging to a church is part of the foundation of the Christian life. It's not the graduation. I mean, it's a bit like baptism in that respect. And that's why it's in this foundation series. We're given 2 weeks over to the subject of the church. Secondly, membership of Grace Church is not access to some exclusive group at the center of the church, this mysterious core. I mean, you're welcome to hang out here. I don't want anybody to think they're not really in. They're not really accepted until they've become a member. That's just not how it works. That's not how membership works. If you're here today and you are not a member of Grace Church, then you are most welcome. You are not more or less welcome whether you are a member of Grace Church or not. I'm glad you're here. Stick around. Have a good look around too. See what we do. I hope you get involved. I hope you begin to make friendships, even spot opportunities to help out and join a serving team and do all that. See, if you're needing some way, if you are sick, say, and people here know you and care about you, then I know that people will look after you and gather around you and just demonstrate love and pray for you. There is simply no sense of, well, actually, your name's not down on the membership list. So, yeah, sorry, you're on your own. It just does not work like that. If you're really ill, then I might come and visit you in hospital. And I certainly always want to do that. But the only reason I may not is that in a church of this size, there's usually at least one person in St. Richard's or the QA at any one time. And I would practically be living there if I visited everybody. In fact, yeah, I joke sometimes, if you see me turn up on the ward, you should probably be worried because it means things are really bad. But no, I'm not sure it's always like that. If you are here, then we will speak into your life. We will encourage you to get involved and hopefully care for you when you need it. I very rarely stop and ask, yeah, but is this person a member? It just doesn't work like that. There is no secret core to Grace Church that you need to access. And actually, all of our meetings are open to everybody. And then just one more thing on the negative side. Being a member of Grace Church does not imply some solemn and irreversible contract. It is not some lifetime commitment that you are making. Now, I don't mean to trivialise membership because I think it's important. I think it's rooted in scripture. But we should also make sure we have an appropriate level of weight and not tie ourselves up in knots. There are certain life decisions that should be taken with the utmost seriousness because this decision is for life, most notably when you get married. That is a life commitment that you are entering into, a covenant relationship with your marriage partner. Becoming a member of Grace Church is biblical and beneficial, but you are not getting married to us. Some people, they've been here for months and they still say, I'm not sure I'm ready to make that kind of commitment. And yet those same people would sign up to Netflix without a second thought. Yeah. Becoming a member is a commitment of sorts, but it's a recognition of the here and now. It is not tying you down to something for the future. If God calls you onto something new, I suppose we might speak into it, but fundamentally, from a membership perspective, we will pray you out and send you on your way with our blessing. Okay, I hope it's helpful to clear some of that out the way. Let's get back into Philippians. Let's look more positively at what being a member of Grace Church does mean. So, now I'm not sure if this is fourthly or firstly in the positive sense, but we'll go for fourthly. Fourthly, it is a joining of spirits. My spirit to your spirit. Verse 27, back in there, Paul's desire for the Philippians is that he would know that they stood firm in one spirit. Now, the church is like no other organization on the planet. We are not merely a club, although we do share a common interest and people do like to hang out here. We are not merely a social action group, although we are hugely motivated to care for the poor. We are not merely a charity, although we do make no profit and exist only as a result of people's generosity and giving. We are the church of the living God. There's nothing else like it. Nobody is part of the church because they are rich or poor or old or young or clever or dumb. We are here because the Holy Spirit came and made us alive. He is the great leveler. Whoever you are, you came to be here because of the work of the one and only Holy Spirit. Membership is important because it recognizes that our church is the work of God. It's the work of one spirit. And you have a place in one grand design that includes you, but is bigger than just you. There are few greater pleasures in life than building a train set. No, really. I love train sets. You open the box and there are stacks of different sections of track, all with different lengths and curves and junctions. And you set about building your train set. Now imagine if all the pieces of track had their own willpower and they could decide completely for themselves where they should be placed on the board. You would just end up with a random mess. What actually happens is that there is a designer who is working to a design, and he places each section of track in just the right place and connects it all together properly. Whether the track knows it or not, it is a vital component in a much bigger design, a much bigger plan. One plan because there is one designer. There is something mysterious and wonderful that holds us together as a church family. It's not rules and boundaries. Rather, it is the work of the Holy Spirit amongst us. He is building us together with a design in mind. Membership recognizes that there is one designer and we are part of his plan. We stand strong in one spirit. Therefore, to be a member of Grace Church, you need to be a Christian. Because how can we be of one spirit unless you've been born of the Spirit, unless you've been made spiritually alive through faith in Jesus? Do that first. Make that your priority. And how do we know who has put their faith in Jesus? Well, the Bible gives us one way and one way only to judge that, and that's to see who has been baptized in water. So put your faith in Jesus and be baptized. And then we can stand strong in one spirit. Then secondly, in the positive sense, which I think is fifthly, isn't it? I'm going to give up on that. We work together with one mind. Again in verse 27. And this for me is my biggest go-to verse for why I think it's good to have church membership. This is Paul's desire for the church. I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Striving together in one mind. The NIV misses out the crucial word there. The word is in the Greek. It's psyche, which is a word that's familiar to us, isn't it? But it means mind. What it actually says is the local church should strive together with one mind. Fundamentally, we have membership in Grace Church so that you can put your effort into building this church, not on your terms or with your own agenda, but united intellectually, rationally, intentionally with everyone else here in Grace Church. I want us to be like the church in Philippi. That's why God has shown us in his word what that was like. And that was a church not simply made up of individuals doing their own thing, but a church that was functioning and moving as one unit, like one person with one mind. And membership provides a way for you to do just that. We're not called to be consumers. I shop in Sainsbury's because it's nearest to my house. I can park outside, I have a loyalty card, and I like their donuts. I'm unashamedly a consumer. If it fails to meet my needs, I will simply go somewhere else. And I don't really care who else goes to Sainsbury's, because this is all about my needs. Now, I don't suppose that anyone is quite so callous about the church they belong to, but the same thinking can so easily creep in. I'm here because I like the vibe. I like the friendliness. I like the teaching. My children are happy here. And that's all great. And I want us to excel in all those areas and more. But have you taken Philippians 1 verse 27 and applied it to your life? Striving together with one mind for the faith of the gospel. Membership is your way of saying, I am aligning my thinking and my agenda with everyone else in Grace Church. Membership is not the final milestone of your journey as a disciple of Jesus, but maybe it is a bit like wearing a t-shirt. It's a t-shirt that you put on right at the start of your journey. So that as you walk through life, growing as a Christian, you can proudly say, "Hi, I'm on this journey and I'm part of Grace Church. I am Grace Church." So what practical difference does that make then? Well, the rest of Paul's letter to the Philippians shows the difference that it makes when you take that decision to be of one mind with your church. Let me highlight a few themes that come out through this letter. See, firstly, it means preferring others to yourself. Philippians 2, verse 3 to 4 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." So being a member of Grace Church means valuing others above yourself. Our main verse here in verse 27, it says that you should conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And the picture there is of some old-fashioned weighing scales where one side is balanced against the other side. And on one side of the scales, kind of figuratively in this picture, is placed all the good news of what Jesus has done for you. The wonder of his salvation, all the blessings and promises that are yours because you put your faith in Jesus. That's all on this side. And needless to say, it is weighty stuff. And when you put it on the scales, they go clash down to the bottom. On the other side of the scales is your life. Or to be specific, it is the way you live your life. It's the way you relate to other people. And the command is to live your life in a way that is worthy of the gospel. It means to live in a way where the scales are kind of balanced. God has saved you entirely as a free gift of his grace. But when you consider how marvelous that gift is, it should certainly affect the way you live your life and your priorities. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 say exactly the same thing, actually, almost sort of word for word. Let me read it anyway. It says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy," same word, "worthy of the calling you have received." It says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." You see, striving together with one mind requires, it mandates that you prefer other people over yourself. So you might not always get your way. The worship might not be exactly as you would choose. The events might not be at the right time or done in the right way. And we might never get to the thing that for you is really important. Now, that certainly doesn't mean that you don't have a voice or that your opinion is unwelcome. Far, far from it. I rely on the wisdom and the creativity and the insight that comes from right across the church. And God has gifted you in particular ways. And he's gifted you specifically so that the whole church can benefit from the gifting that you have. And you can bring your thing. Nonetheless, look out for the interests of others more than those of yourself. In Philippi, some people were starting to grumble. And I guess they were going along with the program, but they wanted everyone to know that they thought it was a bad idea. And they were not happy. There were even two people that Paul singled out, Euodia and Syntyche, who were just arguing all the time. And so they get named, eternally named and shamed. Sucks to be them. Being a member of Grace Church means that you will do what you can to get on with others. To have that same humility and readiness to serve others that Jesus himself demonstrated. And it also includes following the example of our leaders. Philippians 3, verse 17 says this, "Join together in following my example." And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. You see, God has appointed leaders in Grace Church, myself included. And we're just ordinary men and women. We make mistakes, me more than most. But I do believe that God has called us to the role of leadership. And to submit to godly leadership is something that brings glory to God. So let's be of one mind. Okay, and secondly, being of one mind is a call to mission. Being a member of Grace Church means a commitment to our mission. In fact, the whole purpose of being of one mind is so that we would be effective in proclaiming truth about Jesus, striving together with one mind for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. See, personally, I'm not great at sharing my faith with others. I'm not. It's a struggle for me. You might think that's strange, given the job that I do. But actually, it's just not something I'm particularly gifted at. And it's not for lack of desire. I desperately want everyone I know to know Jesus for themselves, from my wider family to the person I meet in the street. And I find if somebody is searching for answers, then I'm in there. You know, I've got a level of gifting, I think, as a teacher, so I can explain truth to people clearly and help people. And I just love doing that. But sharing my faith with someone who doesn't really want to know, I'm useless at that. I'm so glad that I am in a church that prompts me to step out of my comfort zone and encourages me to do the very best I can, and also gives me a way of reaching out to our community in partnership with others. We can do so much more together. It's so much less scary that way. We strive together with one mind. And I, for one, want to say, yeah, I'm in. I need that. In all of our Grace Church sites, we must never forget that God has placed us here to be on mission in this community. So let's make every Sunday morning meeting a place where we want to invite people into, even if they've got no prior experience of church. Say, come along with me to church. You'll love it. Let's pray for our communities at every opportunity we can. We will have this year at least one event in every site this year that we can invite people to and just bless people with. Let's make use of Easter as well and Christmas and times like that. What I'm saying is let's not back off in any way from the mission that God has called us to. And then finally, being of one mind and being a member of Grace Church is a call to generosity. The Philippian church had a track record of clubbing together and giving their money into a project that they had agreed together. Their particular project was to support Paul in his ministry as he travelled around from place to place. So chapter 4, verse 14, Paul says, "It was good of you to share in my troubles." And in verse 18, "I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift that you sent." They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. An aspect of their partnership together, a vital part of their striving together with one mind, was the giving of their financial resources into what the church was doing together. And it's no different for us here. God has called us into all manner of things together, to proclaim Jesus in this community, to build a vibrant church that brings glory to God. He's called us to serve the poor through all the ministries that make up our Grace Works. He's called us to support our commission family of churches and other projects further afield all around the world. Now, you don't pay. Nobody pays to be a member of Grace Church. There is no subscription fee. But to be a member means to say, I'm of one mind and one heart with my church. And it's that heart attitude that I think God calls all his people to. Surely, therefore, that will include how we invest our own money and determine that we do that with generosity and with cheerfulness. It was Jesus who said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." They just go together. So Paul was full of love for the church at Philippi. And they had started well. He had great memories. And his prayer was that they would now be strong in one spirit and strive together in one mind. And there is a mandate on every one of God's people to do the same. And if you would respond to that call this morning, then you are in effect saying, I want to belong. I want to be a member of Grace Church this morning. And I would encourage you, I would really encourage you to respond in that way. And we're going to explain in just a moment how you can do that. There are many promises of God found throughout the letter of Philippians. And the beauty of responding to God in faith is that you can in return claim all those promises for yourself. And we can do that together as a church as well. So just as I finish there, what I want to do is just read some of these promises found in this letter, found in Philippians. As I read them, make them your own and respond in faith to God today. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. The Lord Jesus Christ will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The God of peace will be with you. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus.